Hello, this is Carl St. Clair. I'm the music director of the Pacific Symphony, and on August 1st at 7:30, there's only one place in Orange County that you have to be, and that's Christ Cathedral, because we will be performing none other than Beethoven's Ninth Symphony as part of the dedication of Christ Cathedral here in Garden Grove. So we really look forward to meeting you and to seeing you and to inviting you into Christ Cathedral for a performance of Beethoven's Great Symphony, the Choral Symphony, Symphony No. 9 with the Pacific Symphony, Pacific Chorale, and a wonderful quartet of Mary Wilson, Milena Kittick, Scott Ramsey, and Kevin Days. You won't want to miss it. I'll see you there.
And tickets are available at ChristCathedralMusic.org. ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org. Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
And welcome to this episode from Music from the Tower. This is John Romeri, your host, and our tower has the giant of music in Orange County, and really the nation. We have Maestro Carl St. Clair here in our studio today in our tower. Welcome back, Carl.
John, what an intro. How could I possibly ever live up to that?
But it's wonderful. You live up to it every time you pick up your baton, my friend.
It is so great to be back with
you. Well, you're not just back in the tower today, but we are talking all about the concert that's coming here to Christ Cathedral August 1st. Beethoven Ninth, with the symphony, with the Pacific Chorale, with the Pacific Symphony, and you, my friend, conducting.
Well, as we did when we opened the Renee and Henry Segerstrom Concert Hall, and if you think about Carnegie Hall and all the great concerts hall in the world, I'm always conscious of what is played in there because it begins to be a part of the spirit of that space. So having, after this incredible opening that you're planning, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony be a part of Christ Cathedral, that is really, really a special opportunity for all of us.
Well, it's a special thing for us to attend, and it's a special thing for you to bring us. In a sense, you're the first person bringing the community to Christ Cathedral. I mean, certainly it'll be filled with 3,000 Catholics at the dedication and the evening prayers and the first parish mass and the first parish weekend. We have Brompton Oratory singing with us that weekend from London. We've got, you know, you name it, we've got it. But you, my friend, are bringing us really Orange County, the great musicians of Orange County, with one of the greatest pieces in the history of mankind.
Well, and I hope this will not be the last time. It would actually be my hope that we could begin a series, that we could come here often, and that Christ Cathedral could be another home that the Pacific Symphony could share with everyone.
Well, you should mention that, my friend, because our hope is this kicks off your Music from the Heart series. And it means for us that not only do we want music, but we want Carl St. Clair. We want you to come out and talk to us, as you're going to tell our listeners today on the radio, all about the pieces and what they mean. And, so we're hoping that you're going to bring these giant pieces to us of great spiritual significance as well, and use our screens to show us, as you did that great Bruckner concert at the hall. That's what we want here, my friend.
And I think we're exactly on the same page with regards to that, John.
Well, and we have two more concerts scheduled with the symphony in our little mini series so far, but we want to add many more. We have Paul Jacobs coming. He's kind of ending our celebration of the Hazel Ride organ with the symphony and Paul Jacobs. And that particular night, every cathedral musician of the United States, Canada, and beyond will be in the audience because we're hosting a week-long conference for the cathedral musicians.
Right.
And this concert is our very big first kind of opening of that conference. So imagine coming here to Orange County and hearing Paul Jacobs and the symphony, and I don't know what he's got and you have planned for us, but it's going to be amazing.
It sure will.
Well, today is All Things Beethoven. Now, if you want to hear all about Carl St. Clair, you've got to go to our archives. He has a great show. This little man from Texas just turned out to be one of the America's finest and greatest conductors. This coming up, this season, 2020 in 1920, is your 30th anniversary as a conductor?
It is my 30th anniversary with the Pacific Symphony.
Who just ended their 40th season,
we
right?
Yesterday afternoon, we finished with Mahler's first symphony, which is called The Titan, our 40th anniversary. And we introduced the musicians on stage, and it turned out that sitting on the stage was 1,850 years of dedicated service to the Pacific Symphony in that group. Some musicians had been there since the very, very beginning, all 40 years, all concerts of every 40, of all the 40 years. Some had 39,
wow.
35,
wow.
36. I mean, it's an amazing ensemble and so talented and so dedicated. So we're happy to be 40, but as you well know, in the orchestral world, 40 years old is infancy. You know, there are orchestras that were formed, you know, centuries ago. I remember when I was in Weimar, I was music director of the Pacific Symphony, one of the youngest orchestras in America, and that orchestra was formed in 1482.
Wow.
So one of the oldest existing orchestras. But the Pacific Symphony has another real feather in its cap. We have just been offered the position of, or we have been invited to be the youngest, the newest, and the most recent orchestra in the Tier 1 orchestras of the country. That includes the New York Philharmonic, you know, the L.A. Philharmonic, and all of the big boys, you know.
Well,
and
guess whose fault that is? Yours.
Well, we are just delighted to be included in such great company, and it's really wonderful for Orange County to have, you know, been our friend and been our supporter all these years.
Well, and part of it, it's absolutely you, but part of it is your longevity with the symphony. Other symphonies are stepping stones. I mean, I was with St. Louis Symphony for a long time, and, you know, I went through five conductors during my time, from Leonard Slatkin all the way to David Robinson, and he's now moved on.
Right.
You know, so people come and they go, and you experience these great times with, but to have somebody develop a program and an ensemble that just, you know, you're at the heart of that, my friend, with your 30 years in one place.
Well, in the 30 years of the Pacific Symphony, we've had great board leadership, consistency with our board. We've had only two executive directors or presidents and two music directors.
Wow.
So the founding conductor was Keith Clark, and then I've been here for 30 years. That has really helped the orchestra stay on a philosophical tact, which has really resonated within our community. And if you look around the world at all the great orchestral institutions, Philadelphia Orchestra, Eugene Ormandy, you know, Concertgebouw with Mr. Haitink, the Berlin Philharmonic with von Karajan, Zell with Cleveland, Koussevitzky with Boston. At one point in the history of those great organizations, one person stayed a long time and made a great investment. And I would like to think that that could be me with the Pacific Symphony.
It is you. It not could be. It is. And the fact that you're bringing us the Beethoven. Now, another anniversary coming up is the Beethoven year. Beethoven is 250th anniversary of his birth in the 2020 season. Everybody and their mother are performing Beethoven. I mean, there is just Beethoven everywhere. You're doing the 7th Symphony, the 8th Symphony, the Choral Fantasy, all five piano concertos. What else are you doing?
We're doing the Egmont Overture. We're doing both violin romances and a couple of other overtures that are smaller, the Prometheus Overture and the Coriolan Overture. So we're doing all of this with one pianist, all five Beethoven piano concertos Alexander Romanovsky, who's just incredible. He's phenomenal. And he's wanted to do this project for years and years and years. So we finally found a date that we could agree on, and it's in March of next year.
Oh, isn't that great?
So it's going to be a great Beethoven year around the world. But doesn't that speak so much about what quality really is? I mean, what excellence, what genius, that it has that kind of staying power, that Beethoven's music resonates as it does today, probably better than it did when it was premiered.
Day.
Yes. I mean, we know that some of his early symphonies, the Second Symphony, did not get, you know, fantastic reviews. His violin concerto did not get. The Ninth, on the other hand, did get a rousing reception in 1824, May 7th, when it was premiered.
In Vienna. even though he wanted it premiered in Berlin, right?
Well, he was concerned because the Italians, Rossini especially, had taken over the music.
Wait a minute. Okay.
I forget your name does end in an I as well.
Yeah, I know how it goes. Rossini, Romeri, all of those things.
But Beethoven's Ninth, of course, is a celebration.
And for you to save the Beethoven for the cathedral means a lot to all of us, believe me.
Well, and to us as well. I mean, coming to Christ's Cathedral with Beethoven's Nine is a crowning moment for all of us with the Pacific Symphony. We're just so honored to be invited into this hallowed cathedral, and especially with this piece.
Well, it's going to be spectacular.
We have a wonderful quartet. I mean, the quartet.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about our soloists.
I mean, Mary Wilson, who you've known from St. Louis days.
Forever. And Mary has a show on in our archives as well. She was on our program here in the Tower. You can hear a lot more about Mary by checking that out.
We have done the Beethoven 9 now 3 times together. And I just can't imagine having any other soprano sing Beethoven 9 with me. She's just the perfect voice and the perfect spirit for that piece. And Milena Kittick is our mezzo-soprano. She teaches at Chapman University. She was my Carmen. She was one of the best Carmens anywhere on the planet. She sang Carmen in every major opera house across the globe. She's wonderful. Then Scott Ramsey is our tenor, and Kevin Days, who I just love. I love all 4 of them. It's a magnificent quartet.
Absolutely cosmic. It's just going to be fabulous. It's a concert you're not going to want to miss. It's August 1st at 7:30 p.m. right here at Christ Cathedral. So if you don't have a ticket to the dedication and all the other shenanigans going on here that week, this is the time. This is the time for you to come. And tickets are available at ChristCathedralMusic.org. And soon on the symphony website as well. Well, let's talk about the symphony itself. You mentioned it was premiered in 1824, but it was actually commissioned all the way back to 1817, right? From an English commission. I was so surprised after learning that it wasn't premiered in London or somewhere in England, but it wasn't.
Beethoven really wanted it in Berlin. He didn't have much interest in having it be in London. But it took so long for him to compose it. I mean, he was not in good health, as we all know, completely and totally deaf. But he hadn't written. His 8th symphony was written in 1812 and was premiered in 1814. So it was 10 years since he had had a public appearance as a musician.
You think partly was his health as well?
His health, yeah. his mental state, and of course his deafness. I mean, the 7th and 8th symphonies were composed at around the same time. They were sketched at the same time, 1811 or so. 1812, the 8th was finished. He calls it my little F major, because the 6th, of course, is a much bigger symphony. It's also in F major. But it took him quite some time to work on the 9th. And, of course, he was composing the Missa Solemnis at a similar time. And even on the performance of the Beethoven's 9th symphony, 3 movements from the Missa Solemnis were also performed, along with the Consecration of the House overture. It got quite a reception, as we all know. Beethoven was there flailing and conducting in front of the orchestra, but actually someone else. We think it was Michael Umlauf, that was the other conductor that the orchestra was actually following. And I know that there's even a little bit of a quote as to what Beethoven looked like while he was. Do you have that quote?
I do. Let me read it. Beethoven himself conducted, that is, he stood in front of the orchestra stand and the conductor stand, and threw himself back and forth like a madman. At one moment he stretched to the full height of his body, and the next he was crouched on the floor. He flailed about his hands and feet in every direction, and played all as though he wanted to play all instruments and sing all chorus parts. Isn't that a great
Can you
quote?
Just imagine?
And that was from one of the violinists who wrote about that at the premiere, but yet someone else was holding it together.
Yes, of course. I mean, there's reports. I mean, there's all kinds of reports. Some of them are a little conflicting.
A little sketchy.
Yeah,
yes.
A little sketchy. But
so it was at the end of the piece. It was, you know.
And that he kept conducting when the music had stopped and it had already finished and things of this nature. But when he conducted the 7th symphony premiere much earlier, Luigi Spohr, who was the concertmaster, wrote a very similar account of Beethoven's conducting style. And it was just like crouching, jumping, leaping, stretching. So he must have been, you know, a Bernstein-esque, you know, conductor.
One of your great teachers.
Of course. But isn't it exciting to know that he had such passion about the music? And one of the more touching things that I was that the contralto, Carolina, she had to literally turn him around after the piece was finished to show that the audience was applauding. And the audience, knowing that he couldn't hear their applause through their hats and handkerchiefs and waving them in the air, so that there was a visible sign of just absolute elation.
Isn't that the greatest?
It just breaks my heart every time I think about that, that they realized that he couldn't hear and they wanted him to know, and they were standing and cheering, but that he couldn't hear, but they would show with visible signs. That just tears me up every time.
Well, and you, my friends, can hear it on August 1st. And so let's dive into the music, shall we? Let's take a little listen and take us movement by movement of this great work.
Well, in my way of thinking of the Ninth Symphony, it's a symphony in search of its own song, of a song, of its own voice. Of course, we now know it to be the choral symphony. It's oftentimes called the choral symphony. So the first excerpt we're going to hear is the very beginning of movement one. If you hear these kind of murmuring string sextuplets, it's almost as if you could think of looking into a cauldron. Like it's about to explode, but not yet. And it builds and builds and builds and builds until you have this ba-bam, 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 ba-ka-dam. And then it just has exploded vehemently with almost a fist in the air of kind of anger. But the whole first movement is very motivic. It has this dotted motive that I just sang as its basic theme, as its basic building block.
Well, let's hear a little bit of that. This is actually Carl St. Clair in a 2015 performance with the Pacific Symphony. And so this is the beginning of the first movement of the Beethoven Ninth. And we'll be right back. Amazing. It was so beautiful. But now take us to the rest of that first movement.
Well, the first movement really doesn't have long spun out melodies. There's just a little bit of a two measure. It starts to sing, but only momentarily. It doesn't really have that lyrical song-like quality yet. It's still looking for that song. Listen to this excerpt.
Here's a little bit more. It's really toward the end of the first movement.
It comes and goes. Of course, it's an exposition and a recapitulation form. So it comes at the end and then some in the exposition and also in the development. But the actual lyrical aspect of the first movement are in very short snippets.
And here it is. That was fabulous.
And, of course, this movement ends with that same eruptive kind of motivic quality that it began with. The second movement, of course, is the very famous scherzo that one hears quite often. I mean, you hear it in movies, you hear it. It's been used often, and it is famous, but it is also just an incredible scherzo. But in the middle of that, there is also a moment in the trio which starts to sing a little bit. Again, Beethoven in search of a song. Here's the beginning of the scherzo and then a little bit of the trio where it starts to have a lyric quality.
Okay, this is the second movement of the Beethoven Ninth.
And that was just a little bit of the beginning of the scherzo. There's this cello rondo that he writes that takes us into the trio, and there you can hear Beethoven begin to sing a little bit more than in the first movement, but not nearly as much as you're going to hear in the third and fourth movement.
What a scherzo that is, and the second movement. Wow. No wonder some people say that's when they spun Beethoven around, that the audience went crazy after that piece.
Well, it wasn't unusual for audiences to applaud after movements, and for, like in the case of the Seventh Symphony, the second movement actually had to be repeated right then and there. There was so much applause.
Wow.
So the idea that you shouldn't applaud during a symphony that's, you know, this taboo concert behavior that we are always criticizing, you know, back in the day of Beethoven himself, it was quite normal in operas to have applause and then actually to repeat an aria or a duet or something of this nature.
That's such a good thing to hear a conductor say. Only in my St. Louis days, one conductor would turn around and glare and just belittle anyone. And we just all hated it. You know, I mean, first of all, they're there supporting us. And if they want to clap twice, you know.
Well, that's my feeling as well, John. You know, I think if someone applauds after the first movement or a second movement, that shows that they liked it. And the last thing you should do is to make them feel like, oh my God, I just made a huge faux pas. And it also says that maybe new people are in the concert hall.
Exactly what it says. Exactly what it says. Because, you know, all of us seasoned folks know you're not supposed to do that. But it's the music itself. Like, I just went to the L.A. Phil and heard the Beethoven, Mrs. Solemnus. And you know how quiet that ends.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't solicit the kind of applause that something ending like the end of the Titan does.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was just 12 minutes of yelling and bravos and screaming because they love you so much. But the Beethoven was so beautifully, Dudamel did it. It was just so fabulous, but it's the music. You know, the music doesn't take us there. You know, the music took us to just kind of relaxing. You know, there's always one person that's got to clap.
Early.
Early.
Too soon.
You know, too soon. A dude in the middle still had his arms up, and someone starts.
Yeah.
You know, you can't keep it. But it really, it's the, so at the end of this second movement, who wouldn't want to clap?
Of course.
You know, I mean, it's amazing.
Well,
it's,
there's such rejuvenation, and it just repetitive, and it just builds and builds and builds.
It takes you right to it.
But this sets up the third movement, which begins really only to sing. I mean, they're just melody after melody after melody, except not by the human voice, but by the strings primarily and the woodwinds. And this has two different sections. One is a slow in 4-4. That's what you'll hear in the first excerpt.
And that's sort of the beginning of that.
And it's the exact beginning of the third movement with a two-measure kind of intro, and then the violins start pouring out this long, slow, spun-out melody.
Let's hear some of that. You're right, that was amazing. It's so beautiful.
And then alternating with that is this more flowing, a slightly faster tempo in a 3-4 time, which has a lilting more, and all of a sudden you can start hearing voices with that particular melody.
As though it were a vocal piece.
It could be, for sure.
Yeah.
It could definitely be vocal. Listen to the 3-4 section.
Okay, what we've all been waiting for, that great fourth movement.
Well, this is the movement which really defines Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. And of course, it starts with this absolute torrent of musical activity. And it sounds a little bit cacophonous, but it's really not. It just pulls itself to an immediate halt. And it's followed by a recitative from the double bass and the cello section. And this goes on, and then he recalls all the themes from all the first three movements, And finally, when that sort of cacophony begins again and stops, and then the baritone says, "Oh, Freunde, nicht diese Töne. Not these tones. We don't want tones that sound like that. Sondern lass uns angenehmene anstimmen. Let us sing songs which are more cheerful, more joyful. That's what we should be singing." And that's what the baritone, and the baritone you're hearing is Kevin Days. This is what he's singing.
Once that baritone starts, you know that there's exciting things to come. And take us there, Carl.
Well, and also you realize once that baritone sings in a form called a symphony, music history has just been made.
Just changed the entire...
Absolutely. I mean, music history had been altered from that point forward. This is what allows Gustav Mahler to write voices in his symphonies and other instruments, but it changed the course of music history and set a new standard for what was acceptable. And this is one of the genius aspects of Beethoven. And as I said at the early, when we first started with Movement 1, it was in search of a voice. It was in search of a song. And finally, Beethoven, almost 50 minutes later, finds that voice in this baritone. And it had to be a baritone. It had to be a deep, resonating voice that said, "My goodness, we cannot sing these types of tones. We need to sing tones about joy and love." And one by one, he introduces all the voices and the quartet, and finally, the chorus, the whole chorus with its text that you're about to hear, "Deine Zauber binden wieder," the magic, your magic. It joins us. It joins us, what normally is divided, and that joy, wherever it lights, there, alle Menschen werden Brüder. Then all mankind can become brothers. And this is a universal statement. It was important then. It's probably never been more important to repeat and shout from the highest hills or the most sacred Christ Cathedral than it is today to say that all mankind must be brothers and we must celebrate our brotherhood with joy.
In a sense, that is what Christ Cathedral is all about. First of all, our own community has Vietnamese and English and Spanish and Chinese. We have it all right here. We have Samoans. We have Filipinos. All of these languages are spoken here. We have services in all of these languages.
Amazing.
It is amazing. 12,000 people roll through here on a weekend, and we're not even in the cathedral yet. But now to be able to say, now Christ Cathedral is open to all, and to say it musically, with you and the Pacific Symphony. It's just one of the great moments I can't wait. I'm already getting weepy thinking about it.
Well, when you make such a universally important statement, it will live on and on and on, as Beethoven's music does and will continue to. But the message in this music is timeless. I mean, the message in Beethoven's Ninth, that we need to be conscious of one another and celebrate our differences and join our hearts together and our spirits together and to worship together. It's just so, for me, it's inspirational to know that Beethoven had that kind of vision for all of us and that kind of message. And actually, it's more than a message. It's actually a directive. You have to do this.
Yeah, it's a blueprint.
Yes.
You know, this is how this works. All of nature coming together. Every creature drinks in joy at nature's breast. You know, the good, the evil, all alike. It's just such a, I mean, these are just rough translations of the German, but it's the spark of the divinity. Joy becomes the spark of the divinity. All of these Schiller quotes are just, each line is a study all on its own.
And as we listen to the final excerpt, which is the final few minutes of Beethoven's great Ninth Symphony, the feeling that you have as a performer, as a singer, and as an audience member after the last note, after that bah, 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 the timpani, you are together. We are in unison. We do feel together. Audience, performer, conductor, or soloist, we have experienced something communally together, which for at least that moment has brought our hearts together. And that's what I want our performance here in Christ Cathedral to do, is to continue the process of bringing people's hearts and minds and spirits and thoughts about God together.
Well, and the fact that you're doing that so close to our opening in a space that really is very conducive for being together. You know, I mean, nobody's that far from you. You know, from the core of the orchestra. It's not like a concert hall where there's the orchestra way over there and I'm back in my seat, but we're surrounding you on all sides and, with our balconies. And there's a wonderful closeness there that I think the audience is going to feel the music and hear the music in a totally new way.
Well, we're just so honored to be able to present Beethoven's Ninth, as we well know, at so many important occasions throughout history since 1824, Beethoven's Ninth has been performed as a celebration. When the Berlin Wall came down, for instance, they did Beethoven's Ninth. So many times during New Year's, Beethoven's Ninth is played because it shows the new dawning, or the dawning of a new time and a new opportunity to do exactly what Beethoven beseeches us to do, which is to become brothers. And so that we're doing it here around the dedication of Christ Cathedral adds very, very special meaning to all of us.
Oh, I remember even after 9/11, for example, was Mr. Choir College and the New York Fellow, the Jersey Orchestra, somebody got together and did it right away. You know? It was a calling out that even in the midst of the worst is the need for brotherhood, the need for us to be called to a different life, a different vision. Well, The chorus and the orchestra and the soloists and Carl St. Clair all coming to Christ Cathedral, it's beyond all telling.
And I will say that the chorus that you just heard is the Pacific Chorale, and the Pacific Chorale will be joining, you know, Mary and Milena and Scott Ramsey and Kevin Days and me here at Christ Cathedral for this performance.
Well, I hope that every single person out there listening attends. And you can still get your tickets. There are still tickets remaining. August 1st is the performance date. That's a Thursday night right here in the middle of the summer at Christ Cathedral, 7:30 p.m. will be your chance. Come a little early and look at the new cathedral and enjoy the evening and the plaza. And, it's a whole event on our beautiful campus, our 36-acre campus. And we hope that people will just get in the habit of coming here to Christ Cathedral to hear Carl St. Clair and his Music from the Heart series and our symphony in whatever form he chooses to bring us, with organ, without organ, with brass, with strings, with chorus, whatever it is. You know, if the name Carl St. Clair is included in that package, it's going to be amazing. Carl, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for bringing us Beethoven.
Well, and thank you for allowing me to be on From the Tower. It's a great, great show that you do, and the way you do it and the way you present it is just amazing to me. And that we're here together is, as friends, that even makes it all the more joyous.
To be able to call you friend is one of the great joys of my time here in Orange County, believe me. To get to meet a great musician like you is beyond all telling. Here's the end of Beethoven Ninth. And as always, and never more appropriate, I encourage you to get out and listen to some great music in live performance. And I hope for your sake that it's going to be Beethoven Ninth on August 1st. This is Music from the Tower. Thank you for listening. Thank you, my friend Carl.
Thanks, John.
And we'll see you next time on Music from the Tower. This is Relevant Radio.
And one final treat for today's show, this is the Berlin Philharmonic doing the choral sections of the Beethoven Ninth with Herbert von Karajan, conductor. Enjoy, my friends, and we will see you here at Christ Cathedral, August 1st, 7:30 p.m. Get your tickets today.
Eines Feines, 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 Feines Es wird